Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We just keep coming back to that, don't we? We talk about 2020 as being a tough year, as a hard year, as a year that has been totally unexpected, that has thrown many of us just off kilter, out of whack, because it's just been completely off center. What has taken place this year with the pandemic and everything that's happened around that, the impact it's had on employment, on families, on home life, on all kinds of things in our community and in our homes. And you know, when you scroll through social media now as people are coming to the end of the year, and Michelle shared this in our pre-service prayer today, how people are posting all this stuff to say, that's it, 2020, I am done with you. That I'm getting my diary and it is going in the bin. I am never visiting that place again. I am over what's happened this year. I am over the pain. I'm over the challenge. I'm over the difficulty. I'm over the hardship that you brought. I am done. And they've just completely talking like we just throw out 2020 and we're just ready for the next. Bring on 2021. When that clock ticks over, I'm stepping into a new year and a new thing, and I'm leaving all of 2020 behind. I know that when we get to the new year, we often bring out that scripture, you know what, don't remember the former things. They have all passed away. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And that's probably a scripture we all want to hear right now. Yeah, let me just forget the former things. Let me forget 2020 and move on. But you know what? God never lets a crisis go to waste. He never lets a crisis go to waste, that he is always at work in every situation. Even if we don't see the healings like we've talked about today, even if we don't see the fruit of what we've prayed for, we know that God is always at work, that he never lets anything go to waste. We know that scripture in Romans 8:28 that says, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And I shared with you last Sunday how that word all means all. It's all things. It's not just the good things. It's not just the things that, you know, we think God can work through, but he can actually work through all things, no matter how devastating they've been, no matter how hard they've been, no matter how challenging they've been. God's promise is that he works through all things. That statement says that he works. He's working through it. That he is at work in it, even if you're in a difficult situation right now, even if you haven't been able to leave that thing behind just yet, he is at work in that place of difficulty that you are in. He is at work in that challenge. He's at work in that hardship, and he's working to bring it all together for good. You know, today I just want to share an account from scripture about some people who came through a really difficult time. Similar to what we have. In fact, I think that we can kind of relate to this and the kind of year we've had, that they went through this really challenging time and then God brought them out of it and into a new place, into a new land. And when he did that, he showed them how to journey. And I think we can take something from this account today on how to journey through difficult times and to move into the new one. And I hope this helps you today as we go from 2020 into 2021. This scripture I want to share with you comes from Joshua chapter 4. We're not going to go straight there yet because I just want to give you a little bit of background in case you haven't been in this part of scripture for some time. We know the story of the Israelite people and how God saved them out of slavery and he brought them out of this land of Egypt, and that he had set Moses to lead them, and they spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible tells us that they spent that 40 years in the wilderness because when they initially came to the promised land God had promised to bring them to, that the people were doubtful, that were fearful, and God said, well, you're not ready to come into the land that I've promised you, so I'm going to take you back into the wilderness and you're going to stay there for another 40 years until this generation that has feared dies out, and then we're going to come back and we're going to try again. And so they wandered in this wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine the disappointment of those people who thought they were about to enter into this new place, this promised land, this land that God had said, you know, the land of milk and honey, the land of all the good things of God. And yet they wandered in disappointment in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was not an easy time. It was a hard time. Yes, God provided their need in the wilderness, but they still had to live in the wilderness. And in that place of the wilderness, they dealt with plagues. They dealt with that disappointment. They dealt with attack. They dealt with thirst. They dealt with hunger. They dealt with all the things that you would deal with in the wilderness. And then finally, that 40 years comes to an end and they're about to cross over into the promised land. It's a bit like you and I about to cross over into 2021. We've done that time in the wilderness. We've done that time in that difficult season, in that hardship, in that old year, and now we're ready for the new one. Can you imagine them standing on the edge of that river, the Jordan River that stood between them and the promised land, going, yes, we get to leave this wilderness behind. Yes, we're done with this place. We're done with this 40 years, and now we're going to cross over into the new thing that God has for us. And so God performs a miracle in that moment because that River Jordan just stood between them and what they were about to enter into. And if you read the account, God stops the water flowing through the Jordan. He gets the priests to stand on the edge of the water. And as they put their feet in the water stops flowing. The riverbed of the Jordan becomes dry. And they're able to walk across. It's no small feat because scholars tell us that there was potentially millions of Israelites, plus their livestock and all of their belongings, and they make their way across this river. And finally, when they're all the way across, God gives them this command. And he says to Joshua, I want you to pick 12 people and I want you to send them back to that riverbed you've just crossed over. And I want you to tell them to each pick up a stone and then bring it to the other side. I want you to go back into that place where God brought your breakthrough and brought your miracle. And I want you to take something and bring it to the other side. Because when you bring it to that other side, you're going to establish something that people are going to see again and again that's going to stand as a memorial to what I have done and what I have brought you through. And we're going to pick this account up from Joshua 4. It says that Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you will take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. That was their temple, their place that they housed the presence of God in, that they carried with them. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. These stones that the people brought from the place of their crossing over were going to be a memorial. A memorial to every person that walked by that riverbank that said, this is where God brought us through. This is where God parted the waters. This is where God had his way and performed his miracle. You see, they weren't just to leave the wilderness behind. They weren't just to throw out everything that they had been through, but they were to take something with them. They would take something with them into that new place and to that promised land, that they were to pick up a stone from that dry riverbed and establish something that declared the goodness of God on the other side of that river. And you know, I believe this is a word for us today, that we're not to throw out 2020, but we're to take something with us from this year into the next. Something with us that's going to stand as a memorial to you and to your children and your children's children, to the people around you who are watching you, who know that you're a Christian and that you walk in faith in God, that you're going to take something with you from that dry riverbed that says God was faithful, that says God brought me through, that said God still moved, that God still had his way, that God still brought his purpose to pass in my life, even through this year that I haven't even got words to give to, that God was faithful, that you are going to take it with you, that you are not going to throw 2020 out, but you're going to say, today I am picking up a stone from that riverbed and it's going to be a memorial for days to come that declares the goodness of God. And so today I want to speak to you on the thought, take it with you. Take it with you. What I'm really talking about today is the power of testimony, is the power of testimony in your life. That no matter what the difficult situation has been for you, that there is a testimony that you can carry through, that there is something you can take with you from every difficult situation that establishes a memorial and a testament to the goodness of God. To the goodness of God. In Revelation 12:11, John wrote this. He wrote that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, they overcame. they overcame. The blood of the Lamb. We could preach all year about the blood of the Lamb and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome every situation. It's why we take communion. But today I want to speak to this one about the word of their testimony. You heard Dave share today in his testimony how God had showed him about to be careful about what he spoke, what he declared, the testimony that he carried. Because you see, there is power in our testimony to overcome him. And that word him, it has a little H because it's not talking about God. It's not talking about God. If you back up a scripture before that, that him is referring to the accuser of people. And if you've been around for a while, we know another name for him is Satan. We know another name for him is the devil. We know another name for him is our enemy. He's our enemy because he comes not to save us, restore us, or help us, or heal us, but he comes to accuse. He comes to accuse and he comes to condemn. It's that voice in your head when you're going through that difficult time that says to you, God doesn't care about you. It's that voice in that difficult time that says to you, God has abandoned you, that he's not with you, that he is not for you. That's what the accuser does. And so we overcome that voice with the power of our testimony, by the word of our testimony. That's why it's so important for us to take it with us from one season into the next, to pick up that stone and take it with us. Because when you hear the voice of the accuser in your head, that memorial will be the thing that tears it down. Every time you come to a trial, every time you come to a difficulty, to be able to stand there and say, you know what? I may not have faced this difficulty before, but I have seen God move in my life. I have seen him heal. I have seen him restore. I have seen him carry me through situations I should not have made it through, but I did because of him. And today he's going to carry me through again. That the power of that word of your testimony will stand strong against the accuser again and again to carry you through. So don't throw it all out. Take it with you. Take it with you. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. It declares what that power of your testimony can bring, that it brings you closer into the presence of God, that when you feel distanced by your difficulty, when you feel distanced by your hardship, it's the power of that word of your testimony, that praise that you bring to God, that brings you closer and closer into the space where he is going to speak to you, into that space where he is going to carry you, into that space where he's going to encourage you and strengthen you. When you're in that place of difficulty, it's not time to stop declaring his praises. It's not time to stop. It's time to continue. It's time to pick up that stone again. It's time to turn your eyes to that memorial and say, yes, God is good. God can bring me strength. God can bring me hope. God can bring me courage. No matter what 2021 brings, he carried me through 2020. And I'm going to take that with me into the year to come. I'm going to take that with me so I can face every difficulty, knowing that when I bring him thanksgiving and I bring him praise, I come closer and closer into those courts of God where I can give thanks to him. And I know that he will move. And I know that he carries me. And I know that he strengthens me because he is good. The worst thing we can do in a difficult time is forget to praise the Lord. And you know, we so easily can fall to our feelings, can't we? We can so easily, in challenges and hardship, fall subject to our feelings. You know, I often think and tell myself, if my feelings were a person, I would not have them as my friend. I would not have them as my friend, because so often my feelings don't do me any good, right? My feelings don't do me any good when I'm trying to stay away from all that bad stuff in the fridge that's left over from Christmas. My feelings tell me that you need it. They're not my friend. When things are going hard, when things are going rough, my feelings tell me it's time to bow out. It's time to shut down. It's time to bunker in until this thing blows over. But that's not your friend. In that moment, your friend in that moment is that word of praise. It's that declaration. Your friend in that moment then is to turn your eyes back to those memorial stones that are standing on the other side of that river that you crossed over once before, and to go, this is the goodness of God. This is who he is. This is who he is, and he's going to carry me through again. He's going to bring me through again. You know, there's these people who are recorded in Psalm 78 and known as the children. They're referred to as the children of Ephraim. They weren't actually children. It just means that they were people who lived in that nation. They were descendants of a person called Ephraim. And it says that they forgot the works of God. That they forgot about the works of God. In Psalm 78, 9, it says that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, that they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Wow. They turned back in the day of battle. It says that they were armed and that they were carrying bows, that they were ready, that they were well equipped, that as they went into battle, they were ready for it, that they were set up. But because they had forgotten the works of God, because they hadn't taken it with them from the difficulties they'd been before, because they hadn't looked and turned their eyes to that memorial of the things that God had done again and again and again, they turned their backs in the day of battle. That when things got tough, when things got hard, they fell subject to their feelings and not to the things of God, not to praise him, not to glorify him, and not to give him thanksgiving, but rather fall subject to their fears and their doubts and their uncertainty. Because who knows, as you face a battle, as you face a difficult time, that's what you see, isn't it? You see the uncertainty, the fear, the doubt. But when we bring that praise to God, when we remember his works, we remember his wonders, that's what carries us through. That's what brings us through the battle. That's what overcomes that accuser that tries to bring the doubt and the fear into our mind. It's keeping that testimony before us. It's having those stones laid out that say, this is the goodness of God, that we've taken it with us again and again as we've passed through those waters, that he's brought us over the dry ground into that new land, into that place of victory and freedom and breakthrough. You know, when we choose to fix our attention on the things of God, when we choose to fix our attention on who he is and his goodness and praise him and thank him for every good thing that he has done before, to praise him and thank him for every good thing he has done for us. When we do that, fixing our eyes on the eternal, we're fixing our eyes on our Heavenly Father, and we're allowing him and opening the door for him to come into that situation and to work and operate powerfully in that moment, in that time, in that season. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek the praises. Seek to fix your eyes on him and what he has done and what he will do. Seek to fix your eyes on the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You see, when we fix our attention on the goodness of God, when we fix our attention on what he has done, when we give him praise for his goodness, when we give him praise for the overcoming, for the breakthrough that we've seen before, we are setting our eyes on him. We're fixing our eyes on what's above, not what's in front of us. Because you see, we can fix our attention, can't we, on what's right in front of us. We can fix our attention on that difficult season, on that challenge. But when we fix our eyes, we begin to praise him, we begin to worship him, we begin to bring that word of our testimony again and again and again, then it fixes our eyes on what's above. And what's above us in that term is Jesus Christ. What's above us is the very one who overcame by his own blood, who overcame by his death, who overcame every sin, every form of shame, every difficulty by his death on the cross. So church, I just want to encourage you today as you go into 2021 to take it with you from 2020. Don't leave it behind. Don't throw it all out, but fix your eyes on him and fix your eyes on the one who is above and the power that he has to carry you through. To keep your eyes fixed on that memorial, on the testimony of what he has done. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet right now?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.